Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today we have very special guests, Daniel and Maria Cabrera, the 2023 Knights of Columbus Family of the Year. Daniel and Maria have devoted their lives to promoting the values of life and family. And together, they evangelize through talks and workshops and conferences and their online ministry platform. You could go to their website, danielemaria.com. And so we are excited to have them, and they're going to be great guests. And the beautiful thing, they started this online ministry where they share videos about great topics like NFP, premarital counseling, budgeting, sanctity of life. And so they were the International Family of the Year, not just the national family, but the Knights of Columbus. So that incorporates the world, the whole world,
all you have to do is meet them for a few minutes and you can understand why so many people were drawn to them as a couple, their precious family of 10, 6 here on earth, 4 with the Lord. And the whole family now is in on this ministry of promoting life, marriage, family, the welcoming of children into the world, no contraception, NFP. And so the kids are a part of this and sharing the gospel of life, marriage, and family with their parents.
Well, and you think of how many of the youth today are so often their phones and in TikTok and making all these crazy videos. These precious children are making pro-life videos. They are our evangelists. They are being light and salt. So when other people look at them and they're like, hey, he's a kid, she's a kid, they're young, but they have the message burning in their hearts because their parents are being great, bold witnesses for everything that is good and true and beautiful.
You're gonna love Daniel and Maria. They're ready to come to your parish, to conferences, workshops, English, Spanish, English or Spanish, English and Spanish. They're part of the solution for the church and the world today. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we're delighted to have Daniel and Maria Cabrera. They are the 2023 Knights of Columbus International Family of the Year. Now, Daniel and Maria have devoted their lives to promoting the values of life and family. And together, they evangelize through talks and workshops and conferences and their online ministry platform. Go to their website, danielmariaonline.com.
Say that one more time.
danielmariaonline.com. danielmariaonline.com. If you needed a little Spanish to it, though. So, anyway, well, we are delighted to have the both of you and so proud for what God has done in your beautiful family and in your lives, and to be recognized as the International Family of the Year by the Knights of Columbus, which is a great organization, and you were just doing what you normally do in your lives, and they came and recognized you and said, these people are outstanding.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm a Knight of Columbus as well.
You are.
You are. Wow.
Well, we want you both to tell our family a little bit about yourselves, and then we're going to get into this beautiful online ministry.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us. We are super excited to be here. Yes, well, Daniel can tell you how we started this ministry. I can tell you that we've been married for 14 years. We have 6 children here on earth and 4 babies in heaven. And we've been doing pro-life work for as long as we've been married. And he can tell you how we started doing this ministry online?
Yeah, the online ministry started back in 2014. And Maria, she was already doing programs like radio shows, and she was writing articles and things like that for different Catholic websites. Mm-hmm. And one day I told her, hey, why don't we start creating videos? Mm-hmm. And we started creating videos and talking about our experiences and things like that for 40 Days for Life, promoting mm-hmm. 40 Days for Life. And all of a sudden came up the Maria's testimony. Mm-hmm. And that testimony exploded, I mean, mm-hmm. in views. And that's how we recognize that we have a great weapon to evangelize people out there. Mm-hmm. So, and everything started from there. And we're not special or anything. We just say yes to the same calling that every single family in the world received from God. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing we said, yes, Lord. Mm. And see where we, the Lord has taken us. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, because what happens, we shrink back in fear and think, we have no business doing this. We shouldn't be doing this. Who are we? Mm-hmm. But God is the God who writes straight on all of our crooked lines, right? Mm-hmm. And so Amen. Tell our family a little bit about your testimony. I get your husband's point of view. It's like, because sometimes you just keep telling it and telling. It's like, hey, hon, let's make a video so you mm-hmm. don't have to tell this a million times over. Right. And then it's just there, and there's your story to tell. So tell our family a little bit about that story.
Absolutely. So when I met Daniel, I was a single mom. My story began like many, many years before. I was born and raised in a Catholic family, but to me, God was something like, you know, out there, far away, right? I would go to Mass on Sundays and I would pray the rosary with my family, but it was still nothing like that I could understand. It was something that I would do, but it's not something that I could understand. And I lived like, there was not God like in my life at all, especially when I was able to come here to go to college. I was a very rebellious young woman, and I was away from my family, mm-hmm. and I was away from everything that could hold me accountable mm-hmm. for my actions. So I was just living life mm-hmm. and doing pretty much whatever I wanted. So I got pregnant. So at that point, I was very afraid. Mm. I was very alone. I think it was like one of the darkest moments in my life. Mm. But after that, I saw the light. When I had my baby in my arms, it was the very first time I felt God as someone and someone very close. And I felt for the first time God's love. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I can love this little one so much, I cannot imagine how much can mm-hmm. God love me. Yeah. And so it was the very first time I saw God as a father. Because mm-hmm. I grew up without a father. My dad died when I was 9. Okay. So I could not understand that relationship.
Yeah.
But when I had my daughter, mm-hmm. I was finally like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is what love is, and this is how much God loves me. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I, of course, when you become a parent and you feel that overwhelming love, you want the best for your baby, and I knew the best for my baby was God. So she was my way back to God, mm-hmm. and that was my, you know, the story of my conversion. So after that, I could relate to these moms that go through a crisis pregnancy, mm-hmm. and that's mm-hmm. how I became super pro-life, and mm-hmm. that's how I started volunteering for pro-life ministries, mm-hmm. and that's how I found the Gabriel Project.
Yes.
And as a single mom, I would go with my baby to pray outside of abortion centers. Mm-hmm. And I love photography. I have a communications degree, so I would come to the marches and take pictures and then, you know, submit or send them to the leaders of 40 Days for Life mm-hmm. or all these pro-life ministries. And they started calling me and say, hey, Maria, would you like to volunteer for this other stuff? And then one day I was counseling these girls, like without any training. Maria, mm-hmm. we have a Spanish-speaking mom. Would you mm-hmm. come and talk to her? Mm-hmm. And one day I was like, you know, almost like full-time counseling these mm-hmm. girls. And that's how I started volunteering. And before my baby was 3, that's when we met Daniel. Mm-hmm. And a little bit after that, we got married, mm-hmm. and the rest, Daniel just told you that
story.
Let me
ask you this. In your in-between time, when you found out you were pregnant, to the time you had Sarah, mm-hmm. okay, you were at college, mm-hmm. you were away from home, okay. So just what was going on in that in-between time, especially maybe the earlier time? Did you say, what am I going to do? Did you consider abortion? What brought you to the place of saying, I know the right decision is to carry this child? What were you thinking about your family, you know, at that time and telling them? Just a few things about that in-between time. We may have some people right now that are in that in-between time
right.
that are hearing you. Yeah.
Absolutely. So not my immediate family, but some other family members that I love dearly, they have done pro-life work like their whole life. My uncle is a doctor, and his wife was a psychologist, and they've saved hundreds, mm-hmm. maybe thousands mm-hmm. of babies. So when I was little, I spent a summer with them, and that's how I learned about the pro-life mm-hmm. movement. And so I had that little seed
yes.
in my mm-hmm. heart from right. many years ago. So when I became pregnant, I did not consider, like, you know, I'm gonna go yeah. do this without my family knowing. I was scared to death. I was like, well, I'm not gonna tell, you know, my family, I'm not gonna disappoint them. But I did have friends and people around me saying, don't be stupid, mm-hmm. go and take care of this. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in the United States of mm-hmm. America. This mm-hmm. is legal here. It's only like, you know, $400. You mm-hmm. take care yeah. of this, you get rid of this problem, yeah. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I knew deep in my heart wow. that it was wrong and that I would not be able to do it. But I did consider, you know, yes. other options, like,
sure.
you know, maybe I could,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
go
right.
to an adoption agency or something. Thank goodness for that little seed
mm-hmm.
from
yes.
that family. That
right,
yes.
and that's the effectiveness of a witness, right? And so here you are, the both of you, now you're married and you have your children and you're raising them up in the way that they should go. So because they have a sphere of influence of other children that they're gonna be with, right? Young men, young women who might find themselves in that situation and say, I know I can go to one of those Cabrera kids, they're gonna help me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it takes one person to come up alongside a girl who's in an unplanned pregnancy mm-hmm. to choose life. She just needs support.
Yes. Right.
You hear all the voices, just take care of it, go yeah. have an abortion. You don't wanna ruin your life.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the end of you, but it is that time when we're away at college. My number one client is between the ages of 19 and 24,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and sometimes it is our ticket to go, and we do lose all of our morals. We're like, they don't know what
yes.
they're talking about. And now it's my turn. And sometimes we make poor life choices.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God that you chose life. Mm-hmm. Thank God for the life of Sarah. Because like you said, God used her to bring you back to him. And that's what he does if we would just give him the opportunity. But we're like, no, God, I got this. I'm going to take care of this. And then we bring more sin, more confusion, more poor mm-hmm. life choices into our own arena.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can
Absolutely.
Remember when we had our first child and I was holding Matthew. He's very young and I was a young dad. And I was just holding him and loving him and saying, I'm so glad for you, Matthew, and I love you so very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like the Lord spoke to me at that moment and said, do you believe I love you like you love Matthew? And you know, I had to say, I said, no. So, you know, I don't believe that. But that's what happened to you. You had this child,
mm-hmm.
and for the first time, you knew God as Father and love, and he also brought you in, and Jesus has brought me in as well. But sometimes it takes loving another human being
mm-hmm.
with, we don't have infinite love, we just love, and the Lord has infinite love. We've been speaking about his Sacred Heart, and he just says, I love you, at least like that, you're loving this one. Tell us again,
mm-hmm.
in case I missed it, how you, so you're 3 or 4 years with Sarah on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How did he come into play? Because he's a wonderful man.
You were a divine appointment. You two got set up, right?
What was that about? Okay.
It is a funny story.
Okay.
So I had friends who would help me take care of Sarah when I would work late. So they would pick her up from daycare.
Yeah.
And this was New Year's Eve. I had to work. So daycare would close early and I had to come pick her up from their house. And at that moment, when I was getting her from their house, they were organizing a last minute New Year's mm-hmm. party. And at this party, Daniel's cousin was invited. Mm-hmm. So when we were, okay. you know, eating dinner, they started telling me about this wonderful guy.
Yeah.
So this cousin was like, oh, Maria, you need to meet this guy. He's single, he's handsome, he's like super healthy, he's a good son, you need to meet this guy. And he insisted so much that I was like, okay, let's meet this guy. 2 days later, they set us up, you know, yeah. and we met, and he said he fell in love right away with me. Mm. I was like, okay, and like,
but you had your story too. You were done, yeah. right?
Yeah, I mean, before meeting Maria, I was just done with everything that had to do with dating and things mm-hmm. like that. My heart was broken, was hurt, and that December 31st night, 2009, I gave the control to God and I said, God, I don't have the steering wheel no mm-hmm. more. You drive, and I prayed so hard that. I never prayed like that before. I had a migraine at that point. And then that's when my cousin called me mm-hmm. and I answered till next day because I was just totally out. So, and that's when I met Maria and I knew she was the one that I was gonna marry because mm-hmm. I never thought that first love at first sight, I mean, would be true, but I saw just like the movies, yes. I mean, slow motion, mm-hmm. the hair moving slowly.
Yeah, right, it's like,
and
what?
Till, yeah, till today, I still remember what she was wearing and everything uh-huh. like that. And uh-huh. like a couple of years ago, I mentioned it, and she was like, wow, did you really remember what I was wearing? Yeah, I mean, it just got impregnated in my mind mm-hmm. so well that I remember with detail.
You know, that is so beautiful, because I love the part where you said, when I read up on you and you said, you were done. Like, God, I'm done. I'm sick of it.
Yes.
Now you take, and then he's like, okay, give me 3 days and I'll bring you somebody. I mean, how beautiful was that, right? And it usually is a friend of a friend, a cousin, a family relative who knows what we're looking for because they know your heart and they mm-hmm. want God's best for you. But when you got married, you weren't Catholic.
I was born Catholic,
Catholic
and
yes.
then at the age of 13 years old, my family left the church. Mm-hmm. And when you're 13 years old, I mean, what else do you do? I mean, mm-hmm. you follow mom and yeah. dad. Mm-hmm. But I always kept in my heart, like, why did we leave yeah. church? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was feeling so well, because I was even attending to a Catholic church. Mm-hmm. So when I met Maria, we agreed on getting married by the Catholic church. Mm-hmm. And from that point forward,
good.
We started having debates in our marriage, I mean, yes. religious mm-hmm. and faith-based yes. Debates.
Well, so. Daniel, Maria, thank God we have you for tomorrow as well. Because I feel like we're just opening up the story
right.
of y'all's relationship, and then so much more comes through this beautiful relationship. So we'll pick this up again tomorrow. We're going to take a break at this point. Father John Paul is going to close out our time with his reflection. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, believe it or not, it's just a miracle, but Father John Paul is with us, and we are so excited to have Father John Paul grace us with his presence.
Amen.
Father, yeah. welcome. We are so delighted to have you back.
I don't know about a miracle. It's not really.
Well, you are all over the planet.
Well, EWTN employee chaplain, so mm-hmm. you know I travel quite a bit for visiting the EWTN DC Bureau once a month. Mm-hmm. First of all, Knights of Columbus, you know, for me, it's always been a kind of a part of my own story. Growing up, my grandfather was every position that you could imagine mm-hmm. In the Knights of Columbus. I think he was even Grand Knight probably 3 or 4 times.
Wow.
So that organization has always been there in my background, in my own story, and also in my own vocation too, mm-hmm. The way they supported my vocation. And just the initiatives that they sponsor, I mean, anything having to do with life, mm-hmm. love and marriage,
yeah.
just hearing Daniel's story. I know probably on the next Daniel and Maria's story, mm-hmm. I think this time we're listening more to Maria. I just love hearing people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
And even to me, like when I listen to the stories of how people met one another, mm-hmm. It's to me, it's almost sometimes more powerful for me to hear those type of stories, mm-hmm. of marriages that have persevered, mm-hmm. you know, in good times and in bad, and in sickness and in health. Today, I actually blessed, there's an employee, Jeff Kirk, and his wife, Leslie, 25 years of marriage, mm-hmm. today.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
And God bless them. Bless their marriage right after the homily. Just mm-hmm. there's something very special yeah. about the
yes.
the witness of fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You and I shared about this in another setting, mm. about your desire to be around good, wholesome, married, chaste couples,
for
that
sure.
that benefits your weddedness to the Lord, your own chastity and fidelity
sure.
before the Lord. And it was really interesting how you shared that.
Well, John Paul II says in the encyclical on priestly celibacy, yeah. he says that marital chastity, that couples living their life of marriage,
yeah.
Merit priestly chastity mm. and for those of us who are living yeah. our vocation. And likewise, too, priests that are living our vocation, hopefully, as chaste celibates, hopefully we are
you
meriting
are.
Yes,
grace for
us.
Married people, too.
Yeah.
So they're not, the two vocations are not compartmentalized, you know. Vocation in the church, the vocation of marriage and the vocation of yeah. celibacy actually benefit one another.
That is a powerful yeah. sharing and reality. Thank mm-hmm. you for
I
sharing
believe.
That mm-hmm. with us. I know you
I
do.
I believe.
Would you close us in a prayer, Father?
Sure. Family, we pray a special blessing for those of you who are married, maybe those of you who are maybe struggling in your marriage in any way. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you are encouraged that life, marriage, and the family is God's plan to transform the world, and He will prevail. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.